This episode of the Out of Bounds podcast is brought to you by Fisher's Keys. Hello, hello. This is episode number 98 with Tori Anderson. My name is Adam Jabber. I'm your host, and this is the Out of Bounds podcast. How's everybody doing? I hope everything's going well. I hope nobody's going crazy or too crazy, at least. A little crazy is probably fine. Like I said, hope everything's going well. This episode was a ton of fun for me. I really enjoyed doing it. Tori's awesome. She's a character for sure. But like I said, I really, really enjoyed doing it. This is one of the ones that I did while I was in Banff. So we got to sit down and do it and chatted forever, which is always a good sign in addition to what we did on the podcast. So, I hope you guys enjoy it. Be sure to give her a follow on Instagram. It's at Tori A. Alina. So definitely give her a follow. Before we jump into the episode, I just wanted to thank Sawatch Hemp, who's a sponsor of the show. As you know, if you've been listening for a while, you're probably like, oh, cool, CBD, awesome. But like, they're great. It's a great company. They're a Colorado-based company, and I really, really enjoy working with Evan and that crew. They've been great to me, and the product is awesome. I mean, I wouldn't still be doing this if it wasn't. So I hope you guys will check that stuff out. It's just at www.sawatch.co. And you can also check them out on Instagram. And if you decide to purchase anything, you can use promo code OUTOFBOUNDS and save yourself 15% off on some CBD. I like the rub-on stuff. The cayenne salve is like, dude, it's the best. So check that stuff out for sure. And at worst case, give them a follow. Tell them that I said that I sent you, and we'll go from there. Leave us a review on iTunes if you can. 5 stars, please. And give us a follow on the gram. It's just at Out of Podcast. And also, when this episode comes out on the website, we've included some of Tori Anderson's favorite music, like what she's listening to right now. So you can check that out if you're bored in quarantine and you're looking for new stuff to listen to. We're going to do this with a bunch of the upcoming guests, and so check it out for sure. Listen to some new stuff. Expand your horizons. All right, without further ado, enjoy episode number 98 with Tori Anderson. Bye. Who are you? Go, Tori, go.
Who am I? My name is Tori Anderson. I'm a 26-year-old freeride skier from Canada. I categorize myself as a short stunt nugget.
What is a stunt nugget? Like, what does that mean?
It means short and dense. Can take a hit.
All right, this is the first time anyone has started off a podcast saying that they're dense and can take a hit. Like, is this
all right. Is this what most girls do? I don't even
know.
Yeah,
totally. Okay. This every time.
Yeah, when I said it was weird, I meant it.
Oh, that's perfect. This will be great.
Okay, cool. Should I say, how old I am?
Yeah, whatever you want. People just want to know kind of who you are, like a little bit of background about yourself, right? Like what got you into skiing, and then we can kind of like go from there.
Cool. Just let me get this like beer bubble out of my throat.
Yeah.
I think they still want to go on a date with me.
Maybe. We'll see. Honestly, this is like probably a good thing. Like this is like people are probably going to be like, yes, I definitely want to go on a date because this is like the authentic side, right?
Yeah.
So,
like,
I don't know.
She's a little weird. I get it. I feel it. Okay.
yeah, I guess so.
I'm scared to listen to this after. Okay, let's do this.
Yeah, go.
Okay.
All right, Tori, who are you? Tell the people a little bit about yourself, what you do, where you go skiing, the whole nine.
Sure. I'm a 26-year-old freeride athlete from Calgary.
Okay.
I grew up in Cochrane, ski racing on Nancy Green, and then I tapped out of ski racing right before I went into the FIS leagues and got into freeride. I was on a team in Pano for 2 years. And then when I graduated school, I ended up working at a heli skiing company for 2 years.
Okay.
Out at Mike Wigley.
Okay.
It was pretty sick. First season, though, I wrecked my knee, did my ACL, MCL, meniscus in my left knee.
Nice work.
I now have a tattoo above that knee that says, not broke, just bent. Physio loves it. Helps me remember which one's the bad one because it's a constant struggle. And took some time off, lived in Tofino for a little bit, picked up surfing, and then moved to Fernie, had my first season since doing my knee, and now I've been doing back-to-back seasons for the last 5 years between Canada, Japan, and New Zealand.
That's the dream, I think, for a lot of people, huh?
Yeah, it doesn't suck.
It's not the worst. I'm sure it's hard work too, right? Like, you are in university, and like that's got to be difficult as well. How do you balance all of that?
Well, the first 7 years, my gap year turned into 7 years, so that was good. But I don't regret anything. It was probably the best thing I could have done because it gave me a broader education and a lot more real life experience to figure out what I wanted to do with university.
Okay.
So I'm actually a musician on the side as well. So being able to travel and play gigs helps support myself through a lot of these different countries. And then my one tool that I used was I would get a job before I went over there that had Staffacom. So I'd show up, worked in a ski shop. I've been working in ski shops for over 10 years and had no problem getting a job. So I got there, I had solid income and a place to live and just kind of got set up and then picked somewhere else to go and kept going. Not really good for dating, catch flights, not feelings, but hey, that's okay.
That's a good saying too. You're full of good sayings, huh?
Yeah. I'm a marketing student. You know, I got a degree in bullshit pretty much.
That's basically what that is. Yeah. Like I went to school for a little bit for marketing and it's kind of this, it's what it is.
It is.
Just making shit seem like it's good when it isn't or like better when it's okay.
Yep.
It's basically the idea.
Doesn't suck.
Doesn't suck, I guess. Right. Mm-hmm. So is that what you're still going to school for?
Marketing?
Yeah.
Yep. I'm in my third year right now. Just polishing that off. It's, definitely experiencing the uni burnout a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's full tilt.
Yeah. It seems like a lot of work.
It is. Especially like trying to balance skiing. I'm skiing with Atomic on a social media contract right now. Okay. I haven't been able to compete for the last couple of years because I've had a concussion. That was pretty bad. And then I got onto the Ski Big 3 team this year as well, which has been unreal.
That's great.
Yeah.
What is the social media contract?
Take cool photos. Use hashtags.
Yeah.
Given like, you know, content relative to campaigns that they're doing. And it's interesting, like the micro influencers are quite a big trend right now because they tend to have higher engagement levels and people are actually more interested and invested in their opinions and they're seen as experts.
Yeah.
So companies are looking to sponsor people who have under 10,000 followers and 1,000 as the minimum. So it's pretty cool, but I get a lot of women actually message me and ask me for help with their kits and what they want to get, and it works out for Atomic, I think.
I think so, too. I think I actually talked about this with Megan yesterday, and it's I think it's important. Like, I think it's important to have people that are relatable to whatever the field is, right? So if, like, women are looking to get more into skiing and they're looking to get better at skiing, I think it's important for a brand, like, especially a brand like Atomic, that's a bigger brand, right? To just have some local connection, I guess, to those people. Like, and you have a more direct connection to your audience than they would normally, right? So I think it's huge. I think it's important.
Yeah. Well, it doesn't feel like you're just a pencil pusher trying to push it through because you know, they pay you to do it. It's because, like, you know, like, I'm so grateful that they give me the stuff that I have.
Yeah.
Because it allows me to continue doing what I love. Mm. And as a uni student, my stepmom said, if you can continue living like a uni student for 2 years afterwards, you'll be really, you know, better off with your debt. I was like, do you know what it's like to live as a uni student these days? Because it absolutely sucks.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't even want to do it. Huh? Mm-hmm. I don't even want to think about it.
Yeah.
What was I just going to ask? There was something related to that. Oh, social media skiing. How do you feel about social media skiers? Like, how do you feel? Like, where's the line, I guess, right? Between people that are just like social media influencers and people that are actually really good skiers. And how do you like make the two of those things go together? Not that I think you're a social media skier, but like I think you're a ripping good skier probably. I haven't skied with you, so I don't know.
Thanks, mate. That I'm means assuming I'm selling myself well on social media.
I think, but it looks like you do. So
I definitely don't suck, but it's I always approach skiing with I have a lot to learn. And I ski with some pretty amazing people and they're always really inspirational. It keeps reminding me that the boundaries can always be pushed.
Mm.
So the more that I can learn, the better, you know, I can be, and the only person I'm competing with is myself, which I think is really important because it's supposed to be a supportive community. But social media skiing is complicated, I think, especially for women. Women kind of live in a dichotomous world where they're appearance and their sexuality is seen as synonymous to their worth or their athletic capability. Mm-hmm. And if they want to portray themselves in either of those lights, they kind of have to be like two separate categories. When they blend together, it's we get a lot of people commenting on the fact that, like, say you're a skier, you only post ski photos and videos. Then you go and post a bathing suit selfie that's absolutely banging.
All of a sudden,
you're thirsty for a different type of following.
Right.
Even though the majority of my following's dudes already.
Right.
Which is hilarious. So it's just like, you know, and then like there's this one account, Meme Cork.
Yeah.
He constantly posts shit that's like, you know, really harping on women because he thinks that we get more opportunities because we're cute. And I'm like, we're just capitalizing in a society that objectifies us and sexualizes us regularly. I was like, bitch, we cute. People gonna want to look at it.
Yeah.
But it's playing into those two fields, right? Some of the best skiers I know aren't even regular social media users.
Yeah.
Right?
I agree.
They live purely for the sport. And I gotta say, like, social media does, you know, does kind of take away from it. It becomes a full-time job when you start signing contracts. And
it's work.
It's work. It's a fine balance. It I think it's great because it can create community and you can like support each other, but then at the same time it's I think it can be really harmful as well.
Yeah, it's hard. It's got to be hard to deal with the negativity that goes with it, and also like dealing with all like everybody's right there all the time on social media. Like there's no real. I mean, unless you physically like take your phone and like put it somewhere else,
yeah.
Which is not. It's part of your job to be on there, right? Like as an athlete, kind of, you kind of have 100%. To be influencing people at some level, especially in a sport like skiing, where it's not huge, right? Your reach is actually really important and influential to the individual, I guess. And it's important to the brand. So it's gotta be really difficult to balance that because you're using it as a business tool, but you're also using it as like you're portraying yourself. You know, so
you are. But when you sign contracts, you also have to narrow how you portray yourself. So like a lot of chicks that I know or athletes that I know will kind of have like a Finsta where they post the absolute savage memes or more like their opinions or like if they want to post that bomb ass bathing suit selfie, girl, you do you. It's just like, you know, having a space to be yourself, but also you kind of got to. It's like writing a paper for a professor. You're not writing on the content. You're learning how to write it to sell it to them, your ideas to them. Social media is the same thing, but you're doing it based on contracts that you sign when you start getting into that play field.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, I don't know. There's a lot of those accounts out there that are kind of like they talk about women skiing in kind of a weird way. And the Meme Cork thing, I think, was funny at first. Like, and then it kind of became like it was almost overdone, you know, like there was a couple things early on where it was like, this is a joke. And then it turned into this thing where like, it was like just a little aggressive and almost like over and over about women skiing. Yeah. And it was just like, maybe hop off a little bit, you know, especially because it's just some random kid in like Park City or some shit that's doing it. You know,
I don't know. Like the first one that he posted that really bothered me was someone pushing a woman out of a moving vehicle because she was asking for equal pay in competition to dudes.
Oh yeah, that was bad.
That was bad.
That was rough.
I actually started the internet fight on that. And
did you?
Since then, I've hung up my Warrior keyboard and I don't do that anymore.
Yeah.
Because like everyone I know in the ski industry saw it, but
yeah,
I was like, that's actually how me and Chegg became friends.
Really?
Yeah. She was like backing me hard in the comments, and then we became buddies after that. So.
That's really funny.
Yeah, but it was interesting. I'd like, you know, come after some dudes and I'd blow up their perspective on it. And I was like, you know, giving women equal opportunity doesn't take anything away from you. And they feel threatened and they feel like it's not fair that there's less competition in the women's field, but we're paid the same amount. That's honestly what the argument comes down to.
Mm.
But it's like, in order to build that competition, you need to have equal pay and you need to create more opportunities and incentives for new women to come into the sport. But it's interesting when I turn these guys on their heads with a solid argument, I'm thinking about being a lawyer. I've got a tattoo on my ribs and handwriting that says, be kind, take no shit. And I live by that.
Yeah.
They would instantly revert to flipping through my Instagram to find the one bathing suit photo and then using that as a weapon against me, being like, well, you're sexist. You sexualize yourself. I was like, do you want to go like look up the definition of sexism for me quickly? But it's just, we're not the pitfall of every joke. And women deserve to be taken seriously without being, you know, contrasted to their appearance or saying that they get opportunities because they're cute or like, it's just we want to be respected the same as guys do, and it's really hard because it happens so freaking much.
Mm. So. I think it's also that, like, for a long time, the gear and support for dudes has been way more, right, than it is for females. And I think over the last few years, it's getting better, right? I think it's getting better every year, and I think that's a positive. But whenever they go to, the competition argument and, the competition's not as strong, whatever, it's just like dudes have been doing this for, way longer.
Exactly.
With way more support, and it's just not the same thing, you know? It's it's a totally different... You're just not talking about the same conversation, I guess.
Yeah.
And it kind of bums me out. Like, it's,
yeah. But then they're also like I love I wrote something on my, I did this long post about with six ski photos of me and my friends and then banging hot photos of myself. And I was like, just so you know, public service announcement, it's a woman's sexuality and her worth are not synonymous.
Yeah.
Right. And it's performing like a dude for a dude or to please a dude isn't a standard. And we just want our own lane to thrive in without unregulated commentary.
Mm.
It's just just let us do our thing.
Yeah.
And I think that's chill. That's 100%, all we want.
100%. That's how it should be. And I think it's a lot of these dudes that have these comments, cause I see them actually. And I was talking with Katie Burrell about it and she was
she's awesome.
She's awesome because she will go at people, right? Yeah, she'll go at people hard and then people will go back at her. And then sometimes they just take it to that one dude she posted about that was
that
going
was
way too far.
That was
crazy. And I was and I was just who is what kind of person does this, first of all? Second of all, you know that dude in real life would be scared to even look her in the eyes, 100%. Right? You know, and that's always those people that are keyboard warriors, yeah. Against these things.
You know, 98% of them are anywhere from 15 to 18 years old. You look at their profiles and it's buddy,
yeah.
Go apologize to your mother.
What
are you doing?
Yeah. Aren't you supposed to be asleep? Are you even allowed to have an Instagram account at this point in your life? Back up, yeah. Yeah.
Wish we went back to the days of flip phones. I couldn't be on there, but it's, I don't know. It's an interesting situation. I think that as long as women support each other and we have a lot of awesome guy friends that support us as well.
For sure.
It's just the few come in and tarnish it every once in a while, but it is yeah. getting better. So I think that's important to recognize and equality wouldn't happen without our guy friends that are super down to earth and
right. Yeah. So what's that being a woman working in a ski shop? Because that's a thing that I also so I know where I'm going with this, first of all. I'm not what is it what's it being a woman in a ski shop, especially being on the retail floor or being in the tune shop? Because I know from both firsthand experience, having women work in our shop that are great salespeople and are really educated, not be taken seriously. How do you deal with that? How do you navigate that? And how does it make you feel, I guess?
Well, at first it made me really upset.
Yeah.
I've been working in ski shops since I was 15.
Okay.
So I guess that's 11 years of experience now. I work with Atomic. I sell their stuff. I do demos with them.
Okay.
I am top of sales in every shop I've worked in. And I've been skiing for 24 years. So that's a pretty significant number. And I'm usually the only chick working in hard goods as well in a lot of shops. So... In Canada, it hasn't been as bad.
Okay.
In New Zealand, the shop I work at there, when I got hired there, even though I had extensive boot fitting experience, I was told that I could only work in soft goods. And I was 21, didn't really understand what that meant at the time. And when I asked him why, he was because guys won't buy from you. And so that's, sexual discrimination.
Yeah.
And then I felt it firsthand. So I had a guy, I spent an hour talking to him. And I didn't let that stop me. I'm a pretty stubborn little human. I got a lot of bark, a lot of bite. And anytime someone would come in and walk up to the ski wall, I'd be there to greet them right away. I was pretty determined to do it. But then I'd have guys, after talking to them for a while, they'd be oh man, I wish my buddy was here to tell me what to get. And I'd look at him and be I'm telling you what to get.
Yeah.
And he was well, I just feel he knows me better. I was how long have you been skiing for? And he's oh, 4 years. I was cool, I got 20 on you.
Yeah.
And it's and then I'd have to go and I literally have to ego boost myself or give myself credit to
you almost
this
have
guy.
To seem arrogant right
oh,
like
yeah.
to get to overcompensate.
Well, my friend Nicola, who is an Olympic downhill skier
yeah.
in New Zealand, works in the shop across the road. She has to drop I'm an Olympic skier just
yeah, yeah,
so
yeah.
guys won't say anything.
Yeah.
Right? Or I've even had guys I was selling them freaking goggles and they wanted polarized goggles. That's irrelevant tech in
yeah.
goggles
yeah,
because
yeah.
they utilize
yeah.
glare.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I was going off on it and they're from Europe and they really wanted POC. And I was okay, well more cult classics here are Smith and Oakley. Right. Like, here's why their tech is the best, blah, blah, blah. And they're like, oh, look at us buying, you know, ski gear from a pretty girl.
Yeah.
And they said that to my freaking face. And I looked at him and I was like, this bitch can ski laps around you. Thank you very much. And I walked away. But they had me almost in tears. They're like, I've had to go get male colleagues come up and literally say everything I said just to get someone to like believe me and give me credit.
That's so fucking annoying.
So for a long time, it bothered me. I've now been working at that ski shop for 4 years in New Zealand. And it shifted to the point where my boss actually, he's listened to me sell. And it got to the point where he came up and he was like, you know what? I'm sorry I did that to you when you came in. You know more than I do. And you're better at this than I am.
Yeah.
And he was like, if I ever see that happening, I'm going to come up and I'm going to ask you questions. And I know that's horrible, but I think it'll help you seem more credible with these assholes.
Yeah.
And I was like, that would be great. But now it's gotten to the point. I mean, I used to have really long hair and it was like blonde surfer babe. And I was just like really chill. And now I've got like this like short blunt bob and I've got a switchblade tattoo on my arm and all these prison tats. And I like walk up with my skate shoes and I like purposefully dress more masculine. In New Zealand, they call it mana, which is more like, it's a Maori word for like masculinity and like control. And my boss says I have like heavy mana, but I just, I got to walk into sales being like that. And it makes women uncomfortable, but my sales to men, like they don't question it anymore because I'm well articulated, I'm educated, and I blow them out of the water with tech. And the second that I show them that I know more than they do, like 90% of the time they fold. But it's taken me a really long time to build a tough skin because it's really hard to have somebody not think you're good at something purely because I'm like, you know, a short, cute little stunt nugget.
Yeah. Yeah. And I it's a huge bummer. Like it really is. And I hope it changes, but like the ski industry is also like this place where for some reason the customer base finds a reason to discriminate against whoever the salesperson is, like no matter what it is. Right. Like it, for me, it used to be because I was young. Right. Like, and I had been working in the shop for like 10 years when I was like 23 or something like that. Right. So I'd been working there since I was a little kid, basically. Yeah. And I would always just lie about my age, you know, because as soon as you tell somebody you're 20 or whatever, they're like, you don't know shit, right?
Oh,
you don't know anything. You know?
Get the old boys club.
So exactly. They're just like, oh, I need somebody that knows. It's like, dude, I'm a better skier than you. You're fucking old. Like, you need rental skis right now. Like, 100%. We're selling you rental skis. You know, it's not the same thing. And as a woman, it's got to be that plus the other thing too. Like, it's it's a bummer. I hope it changes, but it seems like it's still a little ways away.
It is shifting. I changed my boss's perspective in New Zealand, which was huge. And now as new girls come into the group, you know, I'm really pushing for them to have that. And I make sure that the boys want to support them as well. So I'm pretty proud of that.
Yeah.
But it'll shift with effort, and it's hard on women, but we're pretty tough and we got this. And we really appreciate all of our male friends that help us get there. So it's, I don't know, those perspectives will die off, I said with air quotations, and, you know, hopefully.
Literally, or. Yeah. So.
Sorry.
No.
I'm Canadian.
I don't think any of those people are listeners of the show anyway.
Cool.
It's really not. Well, maybe.
Shout out to Bob.
Who really?
From, Bob and Steve. Yeah. Where there's a Chad, there's a Brad close by. You know, those guys.
For sure. Where do you ski mostly? Like, what's home? I know you said you're working with Ski Week 3 now, but like what of the three is your favorite if you had to pick one?
Oh, we're not supposed to say that.
All right, sorry. Okay, no, what three of the three are your favorite?
I like them all for different things.
Okay, so for what reason, for which?
Lake Louise, probably for their free ride terrain.
Okay.
There's like some like Whitehorn 1 on a pow day, or even just like on a chalky day where it's just, you know, Lake Louise has that gift where the wind just keeps on giving and it'll get wind loaded.
Yeah.
Whitehorn 1 top to bottom, there's like a sick ridge you can come off of on the left-hand side, and then there's a little pit of cliffs, and then you just get like some big fast turns on, and there's a little hit in the center. It's little, but you hit that thing with speed, and it's steep enough you can send it really deep. And then there's a couple really fun kickers at the bottom that are good for 360s, but it's just like you get to the bottom and your thighs are burning and you're like kind of like panting a little bit and your heart rate's through the roof, and that's just the best feeling for me. I find Sunshine, the runs are a little bit short to get that feeling, but they have like the best park and they've got some really fun hits too.
Yeah.
Norquay, if I'm honest, bad ambassador. I haven't spent as much time there as I should. I'm not a park skier, but I'm trying.
Yeah.
It hurts a lot.
It's a tough thing to just pick up.
Oh yeah, especially at like 26 years old. Yeah. Just like dislocated ribs and all kinds of stuff. Rails don't move.
They don't. Mm-mm. Not, yeah, at least they shouldn't.
But when you lock on, it feels so damn good. And yeah. Norquay is really fun for that kind of stuff. Where like if you want to put on a pair of GS skis and just go ham on a groomer, it's the place to be. Yeah. So, yeah.
And there's night skiing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I would say that Louise is probably my favorite. I was the Louise ambassador last year, so I think I know it better than
the other ones.
Other hills. But
where do you ski in New Zealand?
So Treble Cone in Wanaka
okay.
is like the free-eyed mecca of the Southern Alps, other than Ropehu on the North Island.
Okay.
My best friend Jess, who's on the Freeride World Tour this year as a rookie, bless their soul, she's killing it. She is from Ropehu, and it just looks absolutely gnarly. They
yeah.
get like kind of dual coastal systems, so it's kind of like Whistler snow, but worse because it doesn't snow above 1,200 meters.
Yep.
And like the valley floor is like just above sea level, so it's just like really volatile systems. Anything can change.
Yeah.
But that snow makes you a way better skier because you get the best turns and the worst turns in one run. So, really sick mountain. There's heaps of natural features. No trees, so it's all exposed alpine.
Really?
Which is really cool. You've got like tons of chutes and stuff just off of the slat country, and probably the rowdiest group of skiers I've ever skied with in my entire life.
In New Zealand?
Yeah.
No shit.
They just Kiwis buck. Like, I don't know what's in their orange juice, but yeah. they send it on a whole nother level in questionable conditions. And like, tussock skiing is a thing in the spring. You like, all the snow melts and all they have is grass. So you're going down a run and you have to like, there's like mandatory tussock lines that you have to take to get to the next patch of okay. snow. And again, just like they billy goat anything and they send so hard and they party really hard and they're just like the kindest group of people. So that's what kind of has me going back all the time.
That's awesome. Yeah, I've pretty minimal experience with anybody from New Zealand. The only person I know that skis New Zealand is Maddie Jones.
Maddie Jones.
Yeah, she's like a park skier. She's been on this before. She fucking shreds for sure.
Yeah.
She was in that Josei movie that just came out in the fall.
Josei.
Yeah, it's a Japanese word that means.
Okay, I thought you were trying
something.
To say like Josie.
No.
Josei.
I might even be saying it wrong. I'm pretty sure I'm saying it right though because yeah. she called me out on it because the whole time I was doing an interview, right? I was saying. The movie, like I wouldn't yeah. actually say it. And then she was like, you don't know what it's fucking called, do you? And I was like, nope, don't know how to say it. Like, nope. I know I can spell it. Like, I don't know how to say it. Like, it's so, but yeah, they did this movie. It's like an all female free ride movie. And
oh, sick.
It was great. It was awesome.
I don't think I've met her before. She's probably up at Cadrona. Cadrona is like the freestyle mecca.
Okay. Yeah.
Down
I have no
south,
idea.
So
I have no idea.
Yeah.
No clue. All right. Well, you have a bunch of questions. So let's do some of those.
Lay it on me.
All right. Before we do questions, actually, Womtang, what is that? What does that mean? Like, what is the page? What is it about?
Yeah. So Womtang Clan ain't nothing to fuck with.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, it's a play on words, Wu-Tang Clan.
Yeah.
But it's basically a bunch of Birda babes out for a rip.
Yeah.
So a bunch of local girls in the area, they all shred either at a professional level, semi-professional, or they're just local legends that are the best people ever. But it's a kind of a page. Or an Instagram account that started from a chat group that all of us kind of added each other to create more of a community and support. Because often, like, we're the only chicks riding with a group of dudes, and we want to change that. Like,
okay.
we want to be a huge-ass girl posse, and when we
yeah.
drop in, we want, you know, that's, like, it should be a thing.
For sure.
And we also want to get other girls into it, like, do, like, clinics and stuff like that, just because we want to see women's skiing progress, and it's progressing at rates that are absolutely mind-boggling right now.
Right.
So it's just meant to support that. And it's also meant to challenge what it means to be a lady in the ski industry, because we get to decide what that means.
Yeah.
We don't really, all of us are feminists, I guess you could say. And I know feminist is kind of a dirty word today, but it's more about just giving women a space to be themselves. So the page, the Instagram page, it's on Instagram, it's womb.tang. That's womb as in, like,
yeah.
female reproductive yeah. organs.
I hope people would get that, but
you'd think so. Not everyone does.
People are
but,
dumb, yeah.
Oh,
I guess, yeah.
yeah. Some people pronounce it as wom.
Womb-tang.
I'm just like, I don't know how that makes sense, but it's a, yeah.
Like a wombat?
Yeah.
All right.
Yep. But the page, the posts are, and videos are women doing like stunts, eating it, like everything from like hitting pillow lines to in the park. And then the captions use satire to contrast it with like hyper feminine language. Like my friend Meg Gunning, she's one of the best people I know in the entire world, like genuine bright soul and one of the most stylish skiers. Like you watch her ski and you get goosebumps just because everything looks unbelievably good and she's so strong. But one of the captions said, what was it? It was like, when she has more style than every employee at Aritzia combined. Yeah. And I was like, not wrong. She's pretty freaking good. But we want more girls to join. And we are looking for anybody in like the Alberta, kind of like BC border area. And we're going to try and film some really funny edits that have heaps of pink, lots of beers, girls doing dumb shit, and just an overall good vibe. So we're looking for a lot of other chicks to join if they can.
I think it's hilarious. Like, I think it's funny because a lot of it is like, kind of like not shitting on dudes that are dumb, but like it's a mix of shitting on dudes that are dumb. I know, but it's like, it's almost like a fun way to do it. Like, I don't know. You're not blowing up people's spot necessarily. You're like keeping that part of it private kind of, right?
Yeah.
But you're still like, this is the kind of shit we deal with. So you can like see it firsthand.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of dudes like don't realize, even the dudes that do it, right? They send that dumb text or like they do the dumb thing, like they say the wrong phrase and they don't mean it. Like, I think they don't realize how often women deal with that.
Yeah, but I didn't mean to. It's getting old. It's like, you know.
For sure. It is getting old.
It's like, if any man that gets offended by that space, the thing is the space isn't for men. It's for chicks, right? Yeah. And like we do call it out, but these are things that girls talk about all the time. And this is just a place for us to talk about it on the internet. But it's also a great place for us to like come together and push each other. Like in the group chat, there was huge peer pressure for most of the girls to do the Big Mountain Challenge at Lake Louise.
Yeah.
And the entire women's ski segment was Wu-Tang chicks. There's 12 of us.
That's awesome.
It was bananas. It was the heaviest hitting women's ski segment that they've ever had. The commentator kept saying it over and over again, and the chicks sent harder than like half of the dudes. But that's also used us as like a foundation of his jokes to shame men because we sent it harder than him. So that's an example of the kind of stuff that we deal with.
Yeah, that's dumb. I saw that and I was like, what the fuck? Like,
he's been really great with it, if I'm honest. Yeah. He's taking it as an opportunity to learn, which we really appreciate because it could have gone a different way. But, you know, I'm proud of the girls for sticking together and wanting to stand up about it. And, you know, like if he loses any opportunities, it's not because we spoke up. It's because he said something that doesn't align with Lake Louise's brand.
Right.
But he wants to grow from it. And that's honestly all that we ask. Like, we don't hate dudes. We just want you to be aware of it and to like grow from what our experiences and our feelings. And like, we deal with it a lot. So
yeah.
But Wu-Tang's rad. You should follow us. We're sassy as fuck and we all rip. So
it's really funny. Like, that's the nice thing is, right? Like, it's like you guys ripping. And then it's also like, that late night text, you know, like it's both, which is like the best thing because you get to see both sides that you don't always see, right?
Yeah.
The side that's not portrayed every time.
Exactly.
I think it's awesome. And there should be more of this kind of stuff, I think.
Yeah.
I really do.
We're going to push to make it more. We want to make Wu-Tang a thing.
I'm
so
glad. All right. Let's questions. How many times did you get asked out in the DMs?
I don't know.
Quite a few. Where are we? Nope. That's the wrong person. I like pulled this up ahead of time too, and I'm still fucking it up.
That's okay.
Every time.
You just work here. It's fine.
I just work
here. I just work here.
I don't know.
I just work here.
I don't know.
Keep going. You're doing great.
Yeah, you're doing great.
That's what I tell myself through university.
Dan Thompson wants to know, how inspiring is Jess Hotter's successes?
Well, to give you reference, watching her compete at the kicking horse stop, she's like one of my best friends. I have like best friends from different countries because I've traveled so much. She's my Kiwi best friend.
Okay.
She's the freaking shit. But watching her ski, she dropped in third, I think. And after seeing her line, I was up at 4 a.m. that day, and I knew she wanted to get, like, really fucked up in the after party.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
I was
yeah.
like, if she podiums, I will party with her.
Yeah.
And then she fucking won.
That's
and
crazy.
They didn't tell us because they had, like, a no-stream thing, which was really controversial. Everyone was really upset about it.
Okay.
And nobody could be down there to celebrate with her when she won. But I walked into the lodge, and I met her parents for the first time, which was amazing. And then her mom told me, and I started crying. Like, I was, like, I was so unbelievably happy for her. Like, seeing her live her childhood dream and watching, I'm going to tear up right now just talking about it.
That's okay.
But watching her like live her childhood dream and stop an unbelievable run and how hard she has been working for this. Like, she is so freaking inspirational and she's such a tough chick. And she's also one of like the kindest people I know in my entire life. Like, she's helped me through so much. And I hope that I can return that tenfold. Like, she's just, I'm so freaking proud of her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Seems like it.
Yeah.
For sure. That's awesome. And his next question was, how awesome is it to see the ladies on the Freeride World Tour push so hard? Like, because it's great. It's been awesome for everybody.
Women's skiing is blowing my mind right now. And like every
it's
single
fucking rad.
Field. I'm, unbelievably proud.
It's fucking rad. Next question is, Elit wants to know, what would be your bigger takeaways from the hustling shenanigans for skiing and music? I don't really know what that means.
Oh, because I'm a musician.
Yeah, no, but I don't really get the phrasing, I guess.
Wait, say it one more time.
What would be your bigger takeaways from the hustling shenanigans for skiing and music? So I guess what's your, I don't know.
Hustling.
I don't know. I don't even know what that means. All right, next question. Sorry, Elit. Unless you think you can figure.
Oh, I know who that is. That's my friend Evan. Biggest takeaways. I don't know. They're pretty similar. A lot of hard work, dedication, and practice.
Yeah.
Comes down to it.
Cool. What kind of instrument do you play? Do you play an instrument? Do you sing?
What's so cool fact. I was a band geek. I played the French horn for 7 years.
No shit, huh?
Oh, yeah. Like calling the orcs to battle. You know, like I was full band geek, all whites. But I've been singing since I was 12. So.
Awesome.
Yeah, hot minute. And I play the guitar. I used to be quite folky, but I'm shifting more into like indie blues.
Okay.
I play a lot of gigs in New Zealand when I'm there. And when I lived in Japan, I was playing like, I don't know, 2 to 6 a week, depending on how much I could handle.
Sick.
Yeah, it's been really good. I wish I could play more out here, but between like university school, just surviving and trying to make some money, it's so much to stay on top of practicing. So kind of slips me while I'm in Calgary, unfortunately, but...
Yeah, that's a bummer. I guess that's kind of part, that must be part of the question, right?
Yeah.
Like, how do you, I guess it was like my first question was, how do you manage all this shit? Like, cause that's, it's fucking hard.
Sleep when I'm dead. Coffee's good.
Coffee's good.
Coffee's good.
Coffee's good for sure.
And then I like crash every like week for once a day. And then I just watch Netflix for 24 hours. But.
Just like complete shutdown. Like,
oh yeah. I like stop operating.
Yeah.
But it's okay. If I don't have a lot, it's a fine balance of like having too much to do.
Yeah.
And like and just nothing. The right amount,
you
know, it's like a very fine line that I'm walking. So,
next question. David.crone07 wants to know tricks to score a girl who shreds
asking for a friend. I don't know. I mean, I know this dude right now that is like thirsty for a skier girlfriend, and he's slipping into like all these ski girls' DMs, but I don't think he realizes we're all part of Woomtang, so we talk about it.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, there's a point where it's a little bit too thirsty.
Yeah.
I mean, okay, I would put it this way. If a girl decides that she's going to hook up, she's decided long before you've decided.
Okay.
We wear like a lacy bra. We smell like vanilla. Like we're going out and we're going to get it. So I don't know. Just be yourself. Be kind. A little sassy because we like that.
Yeah.
But we also think it's hot when a guy rips. So I've only dated one non-skier since I was 16.
So ski. That's that's probably the best advice.
Pretty much. Do cool stuff, but don't make your entire life skiing,
too.
A lot of the girls that I know are also academics. They're extremely driven. They have career goals. And, like, we want to see a dude that's, like, as thirsty as us. Because there's a lot of, like, skier boys that, like, I dated one dude who just talked about skiing and golf. And I mean, like, you do you, bro. Like, I'm totally into that. But, like, I'm a hard out nerd and... You know, I've got a lot of aspirations and goals, and all my girlfriends do too. And we want to have someone that can meet us like on the ski hill, but then also like, you know, in other areas. So,
yeah, it's well rounded, I guess.
Well rounded.
I mean, but like, even yourself, like, I mean, you're playing music, you're going to school, you're skiing, like, you're just doing so many things. So, I think that's got to be part of it too, right? Like,
oh, yeah.
you're doing a lot, so you expect the other person to be doing a lot.
And yeah.
Kind of be driven. But I guess it's different for every person, right? So it's kind of a hard question to ask.
I mean, for me, dating's hard because I travel so much.
Right.
But I definitely have like heaps of crushes.
Yeah.
But again, I travel a lot. So it's kind of like, I don't know. It's hard to line stuff up. But if you want a skier, babe, just be a good dude and you do you and the girls will come.
Yeah.
That's what it comes down to. You can't be too thirsty. You got to like just do your thing.
Just be like the right amount thirsty.
Right amount. Like shoot your shot, but not in a creepy way.
And not overshoot.
And don't overshoot. Yeah, overshooting. That's like rule number one.
That's the thing that hurts my heart a little bit. Like when hurts I see people, heart. It really does. Like it, like, you know, when you feel it, like you see somebody doing something and you're like, oh, like I wish I could like tell this person to just not be so that's the thing. That's the one thing I think that that's the thing that like really bums me out when I see dudes like over, especially on social media, like when they're like hiding behind that shield. Yeah. So not that I feel like I've been shitting on dudes a lot, but like it's just like I'm not intending on doing either. I think it should be an even playing field. Guess.
Yeah. So. I'm also the kind of girl that'll make a first move. So that throws a lot of guys off.
Yeah. I can imagine. Yeah. I can imagine that throws a lot of guys off.
I kissed one guy first. He was like, whoa, you kissed me. I liked that. I was like, okay, sure. I'll be here all week.
All right, let's see what else we got here. Farmer Pear wants to know, are you still riding bikes or focused on powder?
Well, I haven't had a summer in 5 years, so.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Why? Like, I mean, I'm do you? So you just don't like summer?
I do like summer. This is actually the first year where I'm like really feeling that lack of summer weight. Like I made some new friends at university. I actually made ski friends at university. This awesome. Is a big deal. They're so rad. But all of them do like heaps of summer stuff. And my friend Marco was showing me videos of the stuff they do in summer, like going camping and biking and climbing. Yeah. And I was like, I could go for a bit of that. Like that'd be pretty nice. The community that I have in New Zealand, I feel like home there and it's accessible and I get a visa to go back and work. And I just also the amount my skiing has progressed in the last 5 years and I've set goals and I've obtained them and I'm like pretty thirsty to keep that going. So I just really like skiing. I think skiing is the one thing I have in my life that makes me feel 100% like me.
Yeah.
And it's just like I think it's the closest we can come to flying. And when you get better and stronger, it's just – there's nothing like it, and I'm pretty thirsty to keep at it.
Yeah.
But I could do summer. I would like to not be translucent or allergic to the sun anymore. So.
Yeah, that's got to do a number on you, like, when you actually get some real sun, huh?
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't even, like, tan. I burn. Like, it's just, like just I have to wear. Straight to yeah. Oh, yeah. I have to wear, like, 100 SPF. Like, I've got my little, like, safety emergency tube in my back pocket in case I need to reapply.
All right. We got one more question for now, and then we'll get this going. So actually I'm going to use Tuck as a segue to another question, but so Tuck Graham _TG_
dang,
so many fucking underscores, it's so dumb, but it's I told him this a long time ago, so it's not new news to him. I think he needs to get rid of a couple of those. It can just be TG. That's like his brand. He wants to know, maybe we can ski sometime. He skis in Big Sky. So do you ever ski in the US at all?
I've only skied in Montana.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, because so. I lived in Fernie for a year, so when the dollar was pretty solid, we'd go down there, and they have big tequila shots down there, like, hot dang. But we do, like, big ski trips down there and go shred for the week. But I would love to get down there and ski. I just, since I'm only doing, since I'm in school during the North American winter, I don't have a lot of money to get around to places.
Yeah.
But I graduate in a year and a half, so hit me up then.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Where can people find you on social media? Any sponsors you want to plug, feel free. This is your time.
Sure. So my Instagram handle is Tori Alina, TORIAA. That's not like Canadian AA, but you know, the letter A like is in, anyways.
Yeah.
TORIAALINA. You can find me on there, or at Womtang. So womb.tang. They rotate through like heaps of women's content. I also have a photography page, but that's a little like sus. It's like my side project, so you gotta hunt for that. I'm not gonna tell you where it is. But you can find me in there. My stories are definitely a lot more personal than my posts.
Yeah.
So Yeah. And then, yeah, really grateful to have Atomic supporting me and my family. And it's been an absolute dream being with Ski Big 3 this year. I'm really proud to ski for a progressive company like them. They really support female athletes and they're awesome. So
awesome.
Yeah. Well,
thank you for doing this. Thanks for coming down.
Thanks for having me.
Anytime. Thanks, guys.
Hello again. I hope you enjoyed that episode. Let me know what you thought. You can shoot me an email, shoot me a DM. Email's just adam@outofpodcast.com. DMs, you know where they live. And hit me up. Also, make sure you give Tori a follow at Tori Alina. Tori A. Alina. And that's all I got for now. We'll talk to you guys on episode number 99. I don't know who it's going to be, but it's going to be somebody. So enjoy. Bye.